Okay, roll call. Commissioner Magzik?
Here.
Commissioner Parra?
Here.
Commissioner Santoyo?
I hear.
Commissioner Yip?
Here.
And Chair Brandao?
Here.
Great.
All right, the first item is, we're going to do a Pledge of Allegiance. Let's stand and salute our flag. Attention, salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Would you like me to tackle the part about the revised agenda right now?
Yes, quickly. Okay. We need to take a vote on that. There is a revised agenda that I posted on everybody's dais. I'm going to go ahead and, or would you like to motion the roll call?
So item 8 that's been added. Yes. And so if somebody makes a motion right now, I'd need you to say with the addition of item 8 or the revised agenda, either one of those would do it.
What he said, I make a motion.
I'll second it.
All right. And do I need to go out to the public for that? Not necessarily on the passage of the agenda, I don't think.
I don't think so.
All right.
You would, because it's technically an action item, so.
Okay. Any members of the public like to address this revised agenda? I don't see any. Madam Clerk.
I do not see any either.
Yep. Let's have a roll call.
Okay. Commissioner Magzik?
Aye.
Commissioner Santoyo?
Aye.
Commissioner Parra?
Yes.
Commissioner Yip?
Yes.
Chair Brandao?
Yes. All right. So the agenda has been passed. Now we're going to go out to the public for comments from the public. Any item that's not on the agenda, you'd have 3 minutes to address our board. I don't see anybody. So now I'm going to ask my colleagues up here if we have any potential conflicts of interest this week. I don't see any of those. And Commissioner Yip, just chime in if you ever feel like you need to. I won't feel offended if you cut me off. All right.
I don't have a problem cutting you off.
Onto the consent agenda.
Item number 5.
Yeah. Any members of the public like to address the consent calendar today? I don't see any. I'll accept a motion to pass the consent agenda.
So moved.
All right. Let's have a roll call, please.
All right. Commissioner Magzik?
Aye.
Commissioner Parra?
Yes.
Commissioner Santoyo?
Yes.
Commissioner Yip?
Yes.
Commissioner Brandao?
Yes.
Chair Brandao, excuse me.
Yep. All right. Regular agenda item number 6, consider adoption, municipal service review, and sphere of influence update. And so, George, are you leading us in that?
Yes.
Okay, thank
yes.
you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the commission. So this MSR update was prepared in response to the district's sphere of influence application filed with LAFCO. The district was formed in 1956. Juan, could you put up the map, please? 1956, and its boundaries encompass 1.8 million acres. It's focused on the eastern side of Fresno County. The district requests LAFCO to consider a 235,700-acre sphere expansion. Next slide.
George, could you sit closer to your microphone?
One slide. So the district is requesting the affected territory to be included in the sphere of influence. The SOI update would facilitate the annexation application, which is the next item on the agenda. The purpose of the sphere of influence update and the annexation is for the district to extend its technical assistance services to the areas that are not currently represented in the conservation of natural resources. The district is an independent special district that is regulated by Division 9 of the Public Resources Code. A 5-member board of directors governs the operation of the district. The district's programs and services are voluntary and are non-regulatory and are also focused on the conservation of natural resources. The district's goals and priorities are outlined in its adopted long-range plan, That long-range plan covers the time lapse of 2020 to 2025, and this proposal is consistent with the district's plan. The district's current projects are categorized in four major categories, forestry, carbon management, agriculture and rangelands, and watershed and wetland conservation. The MSR notes that the district does not collect land-based assessments, and it doesn't collect any taxes based on land or acreage. Approximately 90 to 95% of the district's operation is funded through grant funds. For fiscal year 2019, the district's budget amounted to $315,000. For this current year, fiscal year 2021, the district adopted a $1.6 million budget with grant funds that are specific to projects that they are going to be implementing for the following 4 to 5 years. The district has a reliable professional relationship with various state and federal agencies. Most of their grant funds come from the National Resource Conservation Service Agency, California Department of Conservation, the California Department of Food and Agriculture, the California Department of Water Resources. The district's ability to secure or to pursue and secure those grant funds has allowed it to implement its mission for the past years. Additional information is provided in the MSR. We just want to bring up, too, that while we were evaluating the CRRCD's application, and this is early on, in 2019, the office did receive opposition letters from Alta Consolidated and Fresno Irrigation Districts, as well as Kings River Conservation Districts. Those letters have been included in the staff report as Attachment C. As of this morning, Consolidated also shared their opposition again, so they sent an additional pink sheet item that we included in your staff report. They're expressing their opposition to the requested sphere of influence expansion and the annexation. The district's current boundaries do overlap with the commenting agencies. So next slide, please. And staff prepared these exhibits to demonstrate that Fresno Irrigation District, Consolidated, Alta Irrigation District currently overlap in those with CRRCD, with the addition of Orange Cove Irrigation District and Hills Valley Irrigation District. So their opposition to the application is that the application has the potential to duplicate efforts, to duplicate those conservation efforts that irrigation districts are currently charging their customers to achieve, with the addition of the new SGMA, the GSAs that each of these agencies are connected with. So they're affiliated with either the North Kings GSA, Central Kings GSA, or the South Kings GSAs. The staff report talks about staff's opinion as to how we address and group their arguments to the application. Next slide, please. But we also wanted to note that the four commenting agencies are also expressing their opposition to the application, while there are still additional water agencies that are currently within the district that overlap. Approval of the proposed sphere of influence expansion would increase that overlap. During the two-year process, staff met with each of the agencies, the commenting agencies, and up to this date, we couldn't receive a written comment that expressed its concerns as to what services would be duplicated or what grant funding opportunities may be in competition and may create that inconvenience of having too many agencies pursue that same type of grant funds that are available through the state or federal agencies. Next slide, please. So on this map, we are showing the current overlap between the district and Kings River Conservation District. So again, the proposal would increase this current overlap with CRRCD. Based on the data collected during the MSR process, staff recommends first the adoption of the municipal service review by accepting action items 1 and 2. So adopting the MSR would at least allow the commission to consider the sphere as itself, whether it's to expand the sphere of influence and or affirm the current boundary, essentially denying the application. And because it's connected with the annexation, essentially the commission would be taking a denying stance on the annexation. But staff recommends the approval of the SOI expansion by accepting action items 3 and 4. However, after the closing of the public comment portion, if the commission can't make the determinations on the proposed SOI expansion, then staff has developed an alternative which would allow this commission to basically go with alternative 4A, 1, deny application, USOI 193, and action item 4A2 would affirm the 2016 Sierra RCD sphere of influence. So we would revert back to what the commission adopted for the commission or for the district in 2016. This concludes staff's presentation. It's a two-year process, so we've worked with the agencies, communicated on multiple occasions, and this concludes my presentation, and we're here to answer any questions, as well as Steve Hayes with the district, and the general managers of the irrigation districts are also in attendance. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, one quick comment. My office, Lauren Lane and Doug Jensen, represent two of the commenting agencies, CID and ALTA. I don't see it as a conflict, certainly not an actual conflict, but I did want to disclose that.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Ken.
I have a couple of questions.
Mario.
Yeah. So, George, I remember pretty clearly when we initially started discussing this proposal, and one of the recommendations I had made was for the resources conservation districts to get together with the irrigation districts to evaluate what the overlap was so as to come to some kind of reasonable agreement as to how to resolve the conflict. Now, I interpreted, and I may have misinterpreted what you said, is that we still do not have a definitive list of overlap. We still don't know what the conflict is. Is that what I think I heard from you?
That's a good observation. We currently don't know if there is an overlap. So with the overlaps that we'd identified there up to this point, there hasn't been an issue with that overlap amongst the agencies. And it hasn't been brought up. It hasn't been brought up to us, to staff, to say this is the service that we provide that duplicates what Sierra RCD is doing.
Well, I guess it's pretty frustrating to hear that because after this length of time, if an argument is being made that there is an overlap that it provides an immediate conflict in terms of securing funds or whatever, 2 years later here, we still can't identify one conflict? Right. I mean, I just want to make sure I'm understanding what you're telling me.
And that's correct, yeah.
Okay, all right. So at some point, we may want to ask for further clarification by the districts as to why we don't have a list. You know, if the problem is a conflict, 2 years later, we should at least have one conflict identified. So I'm okay. So second question I have for you is this. Both the water districts and the resources conservation district, for all practical purposes, service the same client, i.e. the farmers. So I'm trying to, did we get a better definition as to whether those, the expansion of the resources conservation district was something that was requested by the clients, you know? Because obviously we want to know, do the farmers want this or do they not want this? Do we have any kind of communication more from them than just the water districts and or the resources conservation district? Do we know that component?
It's a good question. And Steve Hayes is here representing the district, so I welcome you to jump in at any point. But the application came in through a resolution of the district, as the district was interested in pursuing this area to the 99.
To me, there's a difference. There's a difference if it's staff-driven versus constituent-driven.
Right.
And for us, what we want to do is make sure that constituents are being, you know, those are the folks that we're focused on. If the farmers are asking for something, then we need, or are not asking for something, then that's kind of important for us to know.
Yeah.
You know, because obviously there is conflict here between the agencies, and so I want to try and separate the agencies from the people that can actually get served. So right now, what I'm kind of hearing, until we hear it differently, is that we don't have that answer.
Steve?
Yeah, I think, thank you. If you guys don't mind, I think now might be a good time just to follow up on this.
I'm Steve Hayes, District Manager for the Sierra Resource Conservation District. Thank you very much for the opportunity to present, our application and its intent. Historically, we've never had a conflict. I think that's important to know that FID, Alta Consolidated Irrigation District, as well as KRCD, were established before we were. We were established in 1957. I believe FID was established 100 years ago?
Yes.
100 years ago, and another KRCD was established in 1950. We've always had great support. SGMA, I guess, is the wild card, and what that may mean. As far as constituents, we do not convey or have any type of infrastructure dealing with water and its utilization. We are strictly technical assistance and education, looking at what are called conservation practice standards that have been established by the Natural Resources Conservation Service. We receive funding from CDFA, California Department of Food and Ag. The area of our application was an area that was underserved or not served under Public Resources Code 9000. We were requested by the state association to review and see if there was an opportunity to serve those rural communities, what are known as DACs, disadvantaged communities, or DUCs, disadvantaged unincorporated communities. So this portion of Fresno County and the numerous growers, this is an opportunity, especially now that we're in 9 out of 11 years of drought and water deliveries is a real challenge, is to look at water use efficiency. So through DWR and through CDFA, we've received funding to look at what's called SWEEP, the State Water Efficiency and Enhancement Program. So essentially, the clientele is there, the demand is there. We just met with the Punjabi Growers Association, as well as Jean Blanc, former council member. He is now involved with the Southeast Asian growers. And a lot of the mandates and legislation is coming out of Sacramento, whether we agree with it or not, to what extent. The only way we can receive funding and bring it out of Sacramento down here is to look at the DUCs, look at the DACs, and look at some of these conservation practice standards and to assist side by side these growers, no matter how small, no matter how large. So essentially, this is just providing the services that they are looking for. You don't have a comment from a grower that says, hey, this is not going to be of value to us. And we have been performing that outreach, and I'm happy to say that we received funding specifically to implement this over the next 18 months through CDFA. It's a COVID-19 recovery funding, very limited amount of funding, and we were one of two here in this area to receive that, and it's being fast-tracked. So it's very timely as it relates to our application and being able to expand our services into these areas that are not being served. But if you're asking us, do we charge for anything? Do we have a fee? The answer is no. And only way we could ever get into conflict is for county council under PRC, and I can't recall the number, but we have to go to county council, seek advice as to whether or not it would be appropriate to go after a Prop 218. And so I think that's going to be an extremely high hurdle. It will go probably to the County Board of Supervisors if that was considered to be a conflict in that respect as well. So I don't know if that answers your question, but
it does, generally speaking. But what I think I heard from you, Steve, is this, is that your primary focus for this expansion was more so associated by your mothership organization asking you to look into this, and you now are really more focused with the disadvantaged communities component than really the broader farmers.
No, it's you have to take them into account as well.
I understand it, but what you said was that you've identified that the disadvantaged communities were not being served at the level that they would otherwise want to be served, and so that's where your emphasis seemed, at least sounded to me,
right,
like that's where you were going.
Other examples, we've received funding through DWR for tribal entities. So we've been working as relates to tribal communities that don't have the resources to test their water supply to make certain that it is drinkable. It'll be that sort of thing, septic systems, whatever is going to affect water quality and public health.
So obviously the question that gets raised here is this, is if the disadvantaged communities were not being served by the water districts, is it because what their needs were outside of the boundaries of what the water districts could have provided? I'm trying to establish the basis from which your services are needed in their area. So,
well, it's not just water. It's the soils. And that's a very important component. There's what's called SB 859. This is the Healthy Soils Initiative. CDFA sees this to be very important because soil quality is a extremely big challenge. And then they talk about carbon now and what that means as well. It's all discovery, but it is applicable. As a matter of fact, we just are right now with researchers, UC Merced, where they're looking at soils composition and the role of carbon. Today, as we speak, they're up. We're producing the materials using cow manure, believe it or not, as well as almond clippings or prunings and carbonizing it, and they're going to take that to a lab, and then they're going to look at its pragmatic application.
So I think probably I would rather ask the water districts the same question, is, you know, regarding the disadvantaged communities. Because what you've now identified is an additional constituent client within the boundary areas that needed some services. As before, we were kind of thinking broader, more of farmers. So
It is all.
No, I understand. You're covering everybody, but you've identified DACS as kind of be one of your primary focuses. So I wonder if we could ask one of the other water agency representatives a question or two. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
My name is Chad Wegley. I'm general manager for Alta Irrigation District, and I also work for Kings River East GSA. I don't have a title for that organization.
So I guess, you know, I'll just restate that it's a little frustrating to hear that there has not been a list of conflicts over the past 2 years. It's difficult to weigh that as being problematic if there's not a list. But the question that I have for you is along the lines that we just heard from Steve, and that would be is that there seem to be clients within the overall boundaries, the DACS, disadvantaged communities, that were not being totally serviced for their needs. My question is this, is that something that is within the ability for the water districts to do, or are their needs some outside of what you would normally be able to provide service for? In other words, I'm trying to identify, is there or is there not a gap there?
Okay. So as far as how do we serve the disadvantaged communities, and I'll focus on the area within Alta and Kings River East. So if you look on the screen over here, that includes Kings River Water District, Tri-Valley Water District, Hills Valley Water District, and OCID. Most of those DACs are actually located just north of Reedley within the Alta service area as well as south. some of the ways that we service those constituents is really through an indirect manner by delivering surface water. And what do I mean by that? Is, for example, I started out in 2017, made some changes to our operations, and in doing so, by the time we got to 2019, we had increased our headgate diversions by 25%. So what does that mean for the DAC? That means their water table in some places jumped up as high as 12 feet. In some places, I had recoveries that were in excess of 40 feet. So that by making those changes in our operation, one, we provide them with a higher water level, and we also improve the water quality, which are two key issues for the DAC constituents out there. I do get concerned when people say there's this underrepresented area. And when you look at the map, you have the cities, you have KRCD, you have the GSAs, you have all these agencies that overlap in this small area sitting down within the valley floor, which now includes the GSAs. You know, we have no problem with the work that CRRCD is doing up in the foothills and higher areas, and that represents 85% of their service area. You know, this whole expansion seems to be driven by a bureaucrat in Sacramento who has no clue what's going on down here and doesn't have their pulse on what the constituents in this area actually want. I haven't heard from anybody that's been clamoring or requesting, you know what, I wish CRRCD would expand all the way to 99. We're not being served. I'm not hearing that. I don't hear that from growers in Kings River. I haven't heard it from growers in Consolidated. Outside Blong Jong, that seems like that's the only person that has brought that issue to Steve's attention. He met with the Punjab community, but that was about it. But yeah, we have our pulse on everybody on the east side. I can't speak to what happened as far as the expansion that occurred back in 2009. But to date, I haven't had any discussions with CRRCD about SGMA implementation. I didn't know about this whole process until I found out they were considering annexation through LAFCO.
Well, there's something that if I interpreted you correctly, that would be concerning to me, and maybe you can clarify, and that would be this, is because the picture I'm looking at is that there is the clients, the disadvantaged communities in general, that have seemed to voice a need for service, and that's why, you know, the Conservation District has gotten engaged in this issue. And I do fully understand the fact that providing greater surface water improves groundwater conditions and all of that. But the gap that I thought, you know, I guess what's not real clear to me is this. How much direct communication is the water districts having with the disadvantaged communities for them to understand that you're there to help them so that they don't need to reach out and bring others in? That's where I'm not as clear.
So our communication with the DAC, DUC communities has been direct communication. For example, I do communicate with the general manager for Sultana CSD quite a lot. We actually partnered with Sultana CSD on a project which eventually was taken over by the county to help improve stormwater capture for that community. I have participated in direct meetings at the various small drinking water communities. And I also have a lot of ties with that area through other channels with work that's been done by ALTA in the past, as well as ALTA has, you know, been working with the seven communities, Cutler, Orosi, Sultana, Yetum, Seville, to bring in a surface water treatment plant to help address water quality issues on that east side of the Kings River. Communities also talk directly to the cities. You know, they look at trying to get annexations, you know, whether it's into Reedley or Dinuba, to try to figure out, okay, how can we address these issues? Those are issues that aren't going to be solved by CRRCD. Those are things that are directly impacting the DACs.
So here's the last question for you. Can the water districts fully serve the needs of the disadvantaged communities without having another organization come in? That's a yes or it's a no?
I believe the water community can serve the needs of the DAC without the assistance of another agency.
Okay. That's all I need to know. Thank you.
Questions for me?
Thanks for answering those questions. We'll see if we have any other questions for you. Any other commissioners have any questions on this item, either for George or
I've got some questions.
Yes, Nathan.
So, again, was the last time that the Sierra Resource Conservation District, last time their sphere of influence changed, was that 2016?
I believe it was 2009.
2009 was the last time?
So there was two big changes that happened. In 2009, so based on the 2007 MSR, the commission recommended that Sierra RCD absorb Nevalencia. So that was a 2009 reorganization, and basically Nevalencia RCD was inactive, and it crossed into Tulare County. In 2016, the district filed an application to reduce that sphere of influence and detach what the portion of Nevalencia was in Tulare County. That's the 2016 was the recent SOI update that the commission took action on to reduce the service area to only include Fresno County.
And it looked like, at least from some of the letters from a few years ago, that there was an action by, was it Tranquility Resource Conservation District, to kind of move east to 99, and then Sierra Resource Conservation District wanted to move west to 99. So they would basically cover a majority, if not all, of Fresno County in some type of conservation district. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And so I guess where I'm having a bit of trouble, and I've worked with Steve, because actually Sierra Resource Conservation District basically covers my district, almost all of it. A lot of the metropolitan areas I cover are not included, but a majority of that district is my district as well. But they've focused heavily on tree mortality, biochar, other issues. And Steve, you and I have talked in the past about a lot of these things that your organization does. So, and I can appreciate the fact that I know in the documents that I read through, while you don't collect any property taxes, or currently there's no 218 actions that have been taken for an assessment to go to your agencies, at some point in the future that might be something that your agency may be interested in, but it's not in place today. Right now you rely, I think, solely on grants that you apply for. But with this new area, I can appreciate trying to protect disadvantaged communities. But are there any disadvantaged communities that have come to you, any cities that also are identified as DACs that have come to you saying, we want Sierra Resource Conservation District to, you know, to be in their boundary lines?
If I may, a couple items. One is, or actually we have four agricultural-based programs. One is outreach with the Punjabi growers. The other is the sweep that I mentioned earlier. Third one I just announced was a two-year program with CDFA for assisting all farmers affected by COVID-19. And the fourth is a five-year, $10 million program through the NRCS, a national award, called the San Joaquin Valley Water and Land Coalition, Conservation Coalition. It's funded by the federal government. It's going to be made beneficial, five RCDs, East Merced, East Stanislaus, Chichilla, Madera, RCD, Sierra RCD, and Tulare County RCD. On the west side, we're outreaching to reestablish like Westlands RCD or Westside RCD. We've reached out to the San Luis Delta Mendota Water Authority. We have a big problem on our hands, and we're fortunate to have these fundings. By having the annexation, and going back to your question, the answer is yes. The Punjabi growers community, Hmong community, we've communicated with them. They don't see any issue whatsoever. They see opportunity. The other is, again, we don't utilize water. We leave that to the irrigation districts. They've done a great job. We even have a letter of support from the Kings River Conservation District to be the lead agency from Yosemite down to the upper Kern River for funding that came from DOC. This day and age, you have to work with each other. You have to check in. So, yes, Sigma is a part of that issue that's out there, but we actually play what's called an interested party with the King's Basin Water Authority. We've been doing that for 5 years. So we understand Sigma. We understand the California Water Plan. We understand water balances, but we're not there doing the regulating and the utility of it.
And, Steve, what I don't understand, because right now you mentioned that you're working with the Punjabi community and the Hmong community, which is great, which I assume right now a lot of that work is being done outside of your existing boundary lines.
No, it's so far inside.
So you only work with those communities that are currently inside your boundary line?
Typically, that's what we do. Not unless we're allowed to, like Kings River Conservation District said, you go ahead, you be the lead, and you go ahead and secure the funding.
A question is, why not just continue to partner with some of those agencies that are outside your boundaries as an interested agency to partner on applications to do work?
There isn't any outside. Those are white areas.
Oh, I understand. But you also indicated that, incidentally, you currently are working outside of your district to help out some of the Hmong community as well as Punjabi community.
No, that was where KRCD gave us a letter of support, mm-hmm. County Board of Supervisors for Madera and Fresno, that gave us the authority to represent the interests outside of our district.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that's a problem. What I'm saying is, are there opportunities to do more of that as opposed to expand your sphere of influence? And the only reason I ask that question is, it's unusual when there's a sphere change where you have multiple, in this case, irrigation districts opposing it because they have concerns that there might be some conflicting interests. One of the old letters I read in here, and I think it didn't apply to you specifically, but maybe Tranquility, was some of the work to develop recharge basins. Some of that work might be jeopardized by a changing of sphere of influence. One of the things that your agency focuses on is not only air quality, but also water. And so with Sigma, at some point with Sigma, since Sigma is all about water balance, what would happen if there was a granting opportunity that, say, an irrigation district and your agency were both going after the same pot of funds? Would you defer to the irrigation district? You never would
no, we're not
apply for conflicting funding?
No, we don't. That's not. Ours is more on the education and assistance side, not delivery.
Sure, and I'm going to.
And, again, I want to point out that even before we were formed, they were in existence, and there was no opposition at that time. There has been no opposition. We spent quite a bit of time to try to understand what they saw as a risk or exposure. And, you know, if we're looking at it based on conveyance, you know, on a utility basis, we're not there. We're PRC 9000.
Have you had an opportunity to sit down with any of the irrigation districts
that
are here today?
Yes.
And so I'm looking at a letter specifically from FID that was sent on October 9th, 2020. So have all those issues been resolved then? Is that what I hear you saying? Those issues are resolved?
They have been discussed, and there was discussion about a letter or some type of MOU. Associated with it, the former general manager of KRCD, we did quite a bit of discussion and editing as far as what would be appropriate. One of the things that we found is that our DOC funding with their DOC funding, that we could combine that. But they've even had members on our board of directors in the past. So all of this is rather new versus over the last 50 years, this was never an issue.
Yeah, and obviously in the last 50 years, the biggest thing that really has changed in the water world is Sigma and how Sigma is going to impact all of us. And so, you know, for me, as I look at this, I still think there's some additional work that may need to be done by Sierra RCD as well as the irrigation districts, because I think there is an opportunity here where there is some type of MOU that can be formed between mm-hmm. you and the irrigation districts where your sphere is allowed to be expanded, but it's clear that you're not going to duplicate any of the work that they're doing. But I'm just not hearing from the irrigation districts that are here today that they have a level of comfort that there isn't going to be duplicated work and maybe some conflict. But I don't want to put words in their mouth, so I'm going to allow them to maybe speak up a little bit more on that specific topic.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair Brandao, Commissioners, and I want to thank staff and Dave Fye specifically. We've had a couple meetings. I think Dave came to the Kings River Water Association, spoke to all the irrigation districts. He organized a meeting between Steve and myself and Chad and Phil Destoff with Consolidated Irrigation District, and we talked through a lot of these issues. We didn't come to any resolution, though. I don't think anything's been resolved. I don't think any. We heard Steve and we heard his proposal. We asked a lot of the same questions that we pointed out in the letter. Commissioner Magzig, some of the points you bring up, we asked those. Commissioner Santoyo. And, you know, I want to go back to one of the things that Commissioner Santoyo asked. It is true that it's been 2 years and we have not, I clearly identified or put on a letter. You know, what those conflicts are. Frankly, I didn't know. I've been with the district for almost 25 years. I had no idea Sierra RCD overlapped, I don't know, quarter to a third of FID. So, you know, I thought about that. And so if there hasn't been an issue, what are we objecting to? I think it's more about our fear of the future and what has changed. What has changed is Sigma. What has changed are there's GSAs and there's a lot of representation. There's a lot of discussion today about disadvantaged communities. There's a lot of representation from the disadvantaged communities through the both the IRWIMP groups and through Sigma. And so I feel like there's a good venue there, a good mechanism already existing. And so I'm fearful. We're the irrigation districts are fearful of what exactly Sierra RCD is going to do. I personally, I like Steve. I've met with him on several occasions. He's also informed me that he's probably nearing the end of his career, and they'll, you know, at some point in time, somebody will replace Steve. I'm fearful of that. That person might have totally different ideas and thoughts and direction they want to take the RCD. So, yes, in the past, there hasn't been a conflict. But there could be in the future. As far as one thing that's still not clear to me, although I think I heard clarification today, I thought, and my board members thought that, you know, this is more about expanding a tax base and expanding the tax base within within our district that's already covered by the county, the Fresno Irrigation District, the Kings River Conservation District, the North Kings GSA, and the other GSAs, the IRWIMP groups. And it sounds like there is a mechanism, if funding is at the root of this, there is a mechanism in place, Prop 218. We've talked about that. Irrigation districts do it. Cities do it. It's not easy. It's really difficult. It's not fun to go through. It's expensive. But there is a mechanism in place. So with that, Commissioner Santoyo, you also asked how are the irrigation districts working with the disadvantaged communities. I'll just echo what Chad mentioned earlier. In FID specific, I was here 1 or 2 months ago and talked about water supply agreements that FID has longstanding agreements with the cities of Fresno and Clovis. Fresno, definitely a disadvantaged community. We're in the process right now of negotiating a contract or water supply agreements with Kerman, Malaga, Pinedale, and I'm missing one here. Biola, Malaga, Pinedale, Kerman, and you know, through Sigma and through other funding opportunities, we have specifically built recharge basins up gradient of disadvantaged communities. Right now, we joined with the Fresno Metropolitan Flood Control District, went after Prop 1E grant funding, and we're building four recharge basins in the vicinity of Easton, the community of Easton, which definitely has issues with individual wells, and we targeted that community because of those issues and concerns. And we just thought that that made sense. That was part of our charge of what we do. And, yeah, we are concerned about another agency expanding, growing, and we might be in conflict in future grant applications. So I said a lot of different things, but hopefully I addressed some of your questions and concerns, but happy to answer any others.
You know, from the paperwork that I see, and just being familiar with the water world, to me it's pretty clear that the primary issue at hand is the future of available water supply. And so the real question becomes much along the lines of what Commissioner Nathan has asked, is that, you know, if there was any feasible way of allowing the Resources Conservation District to expand, but to agree to not deal with water-related issues would be the best solution, you know. And so but I fully understand that may not be doable, just being from the water world. But what's kind of important for us is to make sure that all constituents are being serviced, you know. And that's why I asked the question. Mm-hmm. Can the water districts fully serve the clients that the Resources Conservation District is proposing to serve? And if, you know, again, if the answer is yes, then that makes it, you know, easier to assess one path. If the answer is no, then, obviously we wouldn't want to shortchange constituents in terms of being serviced. And so what I'm hearing from you, Bill, is this, is that you have progressively been working with these disadvantaged communities in trying to address their issues through a variety of projects that would improve their conditions. And what I think I hear from you is that you're continuing to expand that level of work with those communities. And those communities are not limited to the larger communities, but to all communities in general. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with those two statements. And I also want to come back to one point that was mentioned earlier about a potential MOU between the Kings River Conservation District and Sierra RCD. Mm-hmm. I know there's a draft out there. However, the general manager at the time with KRCD is no longer there, Paul Peschel. He's moved on. There's an interim general manager there. I think they're going... hopefully pull that interim label off him in the next few months. But I'm not sure where KRCD is today or where they will be in 3 or 4 months with that MOU. But that is something we raised early on, is like, hey, I think we're covered by KRCD, and not sure. But it's been explained to me that there's some different missions and goals and objectives of both agencies. I understand that, but I think somebody mentioned, you know, well, in those areas where there's not overlap, you know, could they partner through an MOU? It seems like that would be a good function.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
Any other questions? I'd like to ask Steve, if you don't mind coming back up to the podium.
Yes.
So in your mind, what services do you provide different from these gentlemen in the irrigation districts? Concisely, please.
So outside of water, conservation, land, as it relates to the soils conditions, we look at invasive species. We look at public safety aspects, if we're talking about rangeland and forest lands. And what we do is, on new practices that are made available, we work with landowners to work with them on how to do a better job of conserving their water, as conservation again, as well as improving their soils, and as producers, increasing their production. We work with not only the NRCS, but let's say ARS, I believe it is, the Agriculture Research Center, Services, and others. Like today, we're looking at some of the research and how that research can be applied for dairymen. There's 38 million. I don't think you or I would really want to do this, but there's 38 million tons of manure produced annually. And we just got a few hundred pounds to try to see what we can do with it. I don't believe irrigation districts would do that. We don't see ourselves in conflict. We've never been in conflict. The president of the board of our the board of directors is on a board for another water agency within our district as well. And I think he understands what the intent and purpose of RCD is. It's non-regulatory. In our case, we do not have a tax base. Yes, 218 was brought up, which means that there is a procedure, a process in place, legal process, and that it will require the consent of the County Board of Supervisors. So the County Board of Supervisors has overall responsibility for the well-being of all constituents within the county. Okay. So I'm...
Yeah, you've done good. You answered my question. Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, thank you.
Bill or Chad, either one of you guys, I want to chit-chat with somebody. All right, Bill. You just heard that. Do you agree or disagree? I mean, he went through a litany of things. Are you guys involved in invasive species, soil testing, conservation of land, public safety, education on conservation, increasing production? He doesn't see you in conflict.
On majority of those, yeah, I would agree that there's no conflict. But I think in what we've identified in our letter and what Chad spoke about earlier, what I spoke about, I would disagree.
Are we back to the fear of the future thing? I mean, Nathan Maxick seems like a nice guy today sitting over there, but I fear in the future he might.
You should fear me. Let the record reflect that Commissioner Brandow fears Maxick.
You know.
If I may.
Yes, Daniel.
I'm hearing a lot of fear. So how about if you put your fear on paper? And we have a discussion, you all meet, do an MOU to kind of settle those fears aside, and maybe we can move forward on that. Is that possible? Because these letters are old, 2019, 2020. So is there any way we can get you guys together, put this off for now, and see if we can come up with something?
We could take another stab at it. I think what is key in this, too, is KRCD. And as I mentioned, that general manager has left. I don't know if the new general manager feels the same way or if that MOU is off the table, because I think from the irrigation district's perspective that we saw them as the bridge between, you know, what they do and they would. We have faith in KRCD, and, you know, they represent us and we're a member of them. So
we can bring them to that table and figure it out at that
sure.
time and at that point.
Sure, we
you
could
can
do
come
that.
Up with something fine. If not, then come back to the to us again, and then we can vote on it at that time.
Yeah. Daniel, that's a good idea. Is there any way we can interject somebody in that conversation who's going to keep the thing straight and not let people dilly-dally around?
Oh, you had me right up to the end.
Okay. Yeah.
No, they're in consideration of what's been presented today, the KRCD MOU, the draft MOU, was a pretty stout vehicle. But Bill's correct that when the former general manager left, the new general manager basically said, well, I have things already I'm doing. This is not my baby.
Mm-hmm.
And so perhaps if we were to huddle, it's been represented that we've sat down together before. We could do it again. It would be staff's recommendation simply to sort of guide the discussion, but not have a stake in the outcome. Just to make sure it's facilitated, but it's really going to be up to the to the applicant and the irrigation districts to represent their interests and what could be crafted as an MOU, whether it is the same MOU that goes back to CARE-CD or perhaps it's between the districts themselves, laying out those expectations to address the concerns that that Bill has raised. But that's certainly something, if the condition were to entertain that, then staff would look at for a motion to continue this item, perhaps to the next meeting, to give us time to huddle. And
I would suggest that we ask them what kind of time frame they felt would be appropriate rather than trying to push it in 30 days. So if 30 days works, great. If it doesn't, then we let's get some input from them in terms of what they feel is a comfortable period to be able to deal with this. Because, you know, this is a tough one. You both provide services, but there's understandable concerns. And so either you guys can find a solution for it or you can't, but what's being requested is give it your best shot. Don't make it tough on us to make a decision that may work for some and not for others. So that's all we would ask you, Bill, is to just look at it hard, see if you can find some solution, but you guide us in terms of what you feel you need in terms of time frame to determine that kind of deal.
If I could ask, for 60 days instead of 30, we're right now we're not every day, but we're up at the State Water Board fighting for water right issues on the Kings River, and so that's consuming a ton of staff time, and that's where efforts and focus should be. And I would like to advocate for Dave Fye. He did a good job serving as a facilitator and guiding the discussion, and I think he would do a great job helping us on the next round.
Commissioner Santoyo, if you extend for 60 days, date certain, which would be, I guess, the August commission hearing, then from a practical standpoint, we would not have to re-notice with direct notifications to landowners and that kind of thing, and okay. Publication.
That sounds good.
Okay. Is that fair?
Yeah.
60 days work for you, Steve?
Sure.
All right. Perfect.
Thank you. Okay. If I could add,
George.
The commission may accept the MSR and adopt the MSR as is, as proposed right now, and just delay action on the sphere of influence. So that would be continuing actions 3 and 4 to that August hearing, so that when we come back to the commission, we would be asking for an action on the sphere, whether it's to affirm or to approve the expansion.
Now, doesn't their MSR, though, that they prepared include that expanded sphere? If we take action on that right now?
No. Well, the way we prepared this one, it's a little bit unique. The MSR is just focused on Chapters 1 and 2. And yeah. So delaying the SOI application would just hold off on Chapters 3 and 4.
Yeah.
But we could probably do that with one motion, right? So maybe we made a motion that said move for approval of the MSR as proposed and delay the action on the sphere expansion as well as annexation until the August meeting.
That's correct. It would be action 3 would be updated to continue the items 3 and 4 on the
stay with that county, Kenneth? Or I should say council.
Yeah, so just to be clear, George, you're suggesting separate action on action number 1 and action number 2 but not 3.
Right. So hold off on
action
3.
Number 1 is just the CEQA information collection.
Yeah.
I would note that our August meeting is August 11th, which is more than 60 days. So if the motion would put us at August 11th, then we wouldn't have to notice it again.
Right. Yep,
we have a 70-day limit by statute.
Yeah,
that is my motion.
Yeah, I'll second.
All right. Any members of the public like to comment on this motion? All right, then we're gonna. Vote on action item 1 and 2, and then delay item 3 and 4.
3 and 4.
So item 6, municipal service review for Sierra Resource Conservation District. Motion made by Commissioner Magzik, second by
Santoyo.
And I'll go ahead and do a roll call. So Commissioner Magzik.
Could you stop real quickly? Just to be clear, the actions will have to occur separately just because it's a CEQA document. So the first motion would simply be action number 1.
Okay.
It's not.
I just want to deal with the CEQA action, then. Is that what you're saying?
Correct, yeah.
All right, so then I'll restate my motion because I packaged all things into my original motion. So as it relates to CEQA, I will move for staff's recommendation, item one.
And I'll second.
All right.
So motion to item six, motion for CEQA. Motion by Commissioner Maxick, second by Santoyo. Commissioner Yep.
May I have your attention, please? In accordance with current national terrorism advisory system security measures, unattended vehicles are prohibited from the terminal and may be
seized. Commissioner Yep.
Please
report any unattended baggage.
Yes.
Okay. We're taking a vote on the CEQA component.
Yeah, so he's an aye. So Commissioner Magsig is an aye. What about Brandow?
Yes.
Santoyo?
Yes.
And Para?
Yes.
Unanimous. All right, perfect. And on the second part of that, which is to action two, yeah, I'll move for action two and then also to state for the record that on the remaining actions as it relates to three and four, and more specifically expansion of that sphere, that will be delayed to the August 11th meeting.
Second.
Okay. So roll call, motion made by Commissioner Magsick, second by Commissioner.
Remember, you have to ask for their vote.
I'm sorry, can we take a vote for the second component? Motion made by Commissioner Magsick.
Aye. Second. You just have to hear us say aye, that's all. So Commissioner Parr, are you an aye?
Aye.
Okay, and then the rest, you can name the rest off and make sure they say aye or no.
Yes. Commissioner Santoyo?
Yes.
Commissioner Yep?
Yeah.
Chair Brendel?
Yes. All right. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for coming. Everybody made pretty decent comments out there today, and everybody made a couple goofy comments, too.
Ken, would we need an action on the annexation, or was that included?
No, there's going to have to be a separate action to continue.
To continue the annexation.
Seven,
continue,
to the August 11th meeting.
So, and I'll, I don't know that we'll have to open it to the public first before we do that, but I don't think that anybody from the public's going to want to comment because the public's leaving. What do you think, Chairman?
What's the question?
We still have to, I think, take specific action on item seven, even though it was implied in our last motion.
No, we gave direction.
No, it's on the agenda, and the reason I think you need the action is because it was expressly noticed in the paper. So for item number seven, you should entertain a motion to continue.
I wish I could get two attorneys to agree to one damn thing. Okay, do I have an emotion?
I will make a motion to continue item seven to August 11th.
I'll second that motion. Roll call, please.
Perfect. Motion made by, to continue, item seven, to continue Sierra Conservation District annexation to August. Motion made by Commissioner Magsick.
Aye.
Second by Chair Brendel.
Yes.
Commissioner Yep.
Yes.
Commissioner Santoyo.
Yes.
Commissioner Parra.
Yes.
Perfect.
So, David, I'd like for staff to do a little additional research before the next time it comes before us. One of the things I'd like to look at is to find out if any other resources conservation districts have gone out and secured 218s. Let's find out if there is that, if that is really an issue out there, okay? The second thing I think we should identify is if there's any current issues between RCDs and water districts as it relates to water supply. Because those are the two issues that I heard coming out of this thing. So let's find out if that actually exists out there in the balance of the LAFCOs, mm-hmm. or those situations.
But you can also, on that, when you set up the MOUs, have that discussion, and one can say no and the other one can agree that they're not going to. And those two answers can be mitigated in that MOU.
Mm-hmm. And we did some research, this is kind of a unique geographic
area.
Conundrum.
Yeah.
But I will definitely respond, and we'll present that in August.
Now we're on to item number seven.
Item number eight.
Yes.
Item number eight, CalAFCO Board of Directors nomination for 2021-2022.
I believe
staff report is included.
Oh, that's me? Okay. No, I currently sit on CalAFCO for the state board, and in order for me to continue to run, our LAFCO agency has to put me up as a nomination. So that's what's in front of you. If you're okay with it, to nominate me going forward.
I would nominate Mr. Parra because somebody's got to do it.
I'll second that.
All right.
Thank you, Gary.
Any members of the public, for the record, like to comment? Seeing none, Madam Clerk.
Perfect. So item number seven, motion made by Commissioner Santoyo, second by Commissioner Yep. Commissioner Magzik?
Aye.
Commissioner Parra?
Yes.
Commissioner Yep?
Yes.
Okay. And Chair Brandao?
Yes.
Did you get the affirmative vote?
Now we're on to item number nine, correct?
Okay.
Commission or executive officer comments.
I recall sitting in Clovis City Council with a young council member would have his opportunity to say comments, and I think he started by saying, I love you all.
You're very correct. It sounds like a wise council member you got to work with. I think that council member used to read fortune cookies, too, like over 20 years ago.
Well, I say that, and I'd say with all due respect, but that's another thing you don't say in Clovis unless you mean it.
That's because of Harry.
Yeah, it's because of Harry. But it is such a privilege to serve this commission and to have served this commission for all these years. And when I sat down with Commissioners Brandao and Santoyo to talk about compensation, it was a reminder of what it feels like to be to travel through the knothole. and that's a good thing. And I think that I've been stronger for it. But it also gave me pause to consider. And I would like to raise the idea of a transition of your executive leadership to this commission. For various reasons, I've been looking at retirement, and not just because I got the heat put under me, but for a lot of other things that really don't have to do with work. And I just wanted to raise that specter today and say that this commission is currently composed and probably the best composition to handle the task of selecting my replacement. And I'm not in a rush to leave right now, but I do want to proceed with some due process and bring it to your attention. And I think that the county and our special districts and cities are in good hands because of the intellectual horsepower that you guys have and the different opinions that you present and the different perspectives. And now's the time, because if this changes and I decide to retire, I don't know, 4 or 5 years from now and a bunch of yahoos are sitting up here, I'll regret not having brought this up now. So I want to bring that up. I want to thank you for the vote of confidence that I've been getting each year. It's been pretty tough, and I've got good staff. One of them is not here right now. She's home not feeling well, but I've got good staff to leave you with, and I just want to put that out there. So thank you for your vote of confidence all these years.
We love you, David.
Yeah. Thanks, David. I thought our lunch was pretty mellow, actually. Don't send me next time, I guess, is the key.
Hey, if you're paying, you can put me through the knot hole, too.
It wasn't any worse
than that. That means something
others,
different but, in Clovis.
I didn't even
mention that. What's that, Gary?
I need to see the minutes of that meeting.
Right? Right.
How intense that was. I could take notes.
That's very interesting, David. Do you have a time frame? You said you're not in a rush, or
not in a rush. Maybe by the end of the year. You know, we've got the office move. That's something that's somewhat time sensitive because I can't just leave that behind because our lease expires.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nothing that somebody else couldn't pick up. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking before the end of the year would be good for me, and that gives us plenty of time. There's been a number of LAFCOs who are also in transition. Sacramento, who does Chris work for? Nevada? Placer. So they've the EOs have announced through our listserv that they're retiring, and everybody says, yeah, see you later. And then a couple of months later, they say, well, I'll be around a little bit longer because the commission didn't really find who mm-hmm. they wanted to replace me. So I think it may be kind of a tough market to find somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I'm lucky. Mm-hmm. I'm lucky. Maybe you're lucky you have me. But to find somebody that meets your standards. And to a certain extent, what I've done here was kind of a pioneering thing. You know, putting a county department and standing up an independent agency, that's mm-hmm. those things are done. And you may be looking for somebody who has a different skill set or may share the commission's vision for the future. I'm not sure. But this would give us plenty of time. And whether the commission wants to go out and hire a headhunter firm or have it done in-house, that's really up to you, and I would defer to your wishes in that one.
Well, I would suggest that we have a second meeting with David. Let's have a further discussion with him on this whole matter. Give us a chance to figure out how we might bring this back to the commission at some point.
You know, you've got to be at least 50 to retire, so
keep that in mind. 50.
Now he's buttering him up.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, I get it.
I have a question, though, on the compensation. I don't know if you all came up with a number. I know you're saying you might leave 6 months or maybe a little after that, but in the interim, you still are for compensation, correct?
Bless your heart.
I don't know what y'all came up with.
So the way it worked out is that we agreed to have a second meeting. We didn't conclude a compensation.
Okay.
The first meeting. We were going to have secondary to get to there. Okay.
So if you do want to act on that, it would have to be added to the agenda for an action item.
You'll have your meeting before the next one, so we can put on the agenda.
Sure.
Compensation next month.
Yeah.
Yes. Correct.
Retroactive to, no, I don't know, figure it out.
And depending on the conversation we have, we may also want to provide some direction in terms of whether we want to seek, you know, candidates or not, a process possibly.
Right.
So, but I think we need to have that conversation, and then we can mm-hmm. kind of go from there.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think there was some issues about what we discussed, the question, not an issue, but the question about how to create a more predictable path, things like that. So maybe that could be on the docket as well, because that may be required, that either might be in the next EO's employment agreement or it may become a commission policy. I think we've got a pretty full agenda there for the next meeting.
All right, cool. Thank you. Gives us all something to think about. Anybody else? Any other commissioners have any?
I got some.
Yes.
So just curious, traffic or flow of applications that LAFCO is receiving for annexations, are we still seeing a healthy supply of applications coming in, or what are some of the things that you're seeing?
Healthy if one is on a diet, you know, a health diet. So we've got applications, but it's not like it used to be. Maybe before I got here, I think I'm here in the halcyon days where the level of intrigue or the level of contested projects or simply the number of projects is relatively minor. We've got a few in the pipeline now. In a sense, they're just, you know, bread and butter annexations. So it's not as if we have a lot of applications, but we do have ongoing MSR program, so that's not application based, but that's keeping us busy when there's not when we don't have the applications to work on. We're working on the programmatic items.
All right, very good. And let's see here. I guess that's probably all I can ask in regards to that. So,
all right, anything, Mario? I was just going to add, and I was going to say it anyway, but tee off of Supervisor Magzik, is in Fresno County, and I want, you know, there's not a lot of people here in the room, but I do want our board to know this, our commission to know this, that Fresno County is now looking at the whole application process a little bit differently, or annexation process a little bit differently. We no longer want to create peninsulas that will lead to islands. And we've allowed that in the past, and I don't think
I don't think we're going that direction. There might be very rare occasion, but this thing about developers trying to carve out around residential houses for their own benefit, not doing the hard part of the job to secure some of those, and then also shared roadways. These are all things that have led to a lot of problems that have, in the end, backfired and set back parts of our community. And so Fresno County, I don't believe is going to be a part of that in the future. So if you can help us get the word out on that, we appreciate it.
Would that also include addressing the unincorporated islands in the Fresno metropolitan area?
Yeah, I think that there isn't the horsepower to get that stuff done right now, but maybe once we get this process underway, we can start looking at some of the other stuff too. Mm-hmm. But
may I offer a brief observation on that?
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, there was the city of Fresno was working on a planning process, and I attended the community meeting, and the supervisor representing that area communicated to the rural residents when they expressed their concern about annexation and changed their lifestyle, and the supervisor communicated essentially, I've got your back. And I believe how that was interpreted was, if there's a problem, you come to me and we'll make sure that problem doesn't happen or is resolved. And I don't think that was necessarily supportive of the process. I think it was supportive of the status quo, which is fine because it was a legitimate concern on the part of the county supervisor. And we were talking about this in-house a couple of months ago about rural residential. And I want to give Juan the credit for this because I said, "What do you do? How do I, as the EO, and I'm talking to these people, how do I address it?" And Juan suggested that perhaps the message isn't "we have your back," but it's going to be okay. The change, and as we heard expressed today, there's a lot of fear with change, and so that's something that I would like the board and your staff to consider when you're talking about this at the county level. That maybe there's a different message that still protects the interests of, it still protects the county's interests and its relationship to the folks in the unincorporated area, but perhaps it's really time for to look at that message, and because you're right, it is a waste of public funds that our predecessors have given us, and to some degree, I'm responsible because I recommended approval of a major peninsula on the west area because of the times and the facts that were in front of me, that looking back on it, maybe I wouldn't have recommended approval. So this is certainly something that is timely and really needs, I think we really need to take a strong look at some of the paradigms that each of us, each of our agencies is using and perhaps reflect on those moving forward, because we all want something that's more orderly, logical, and efficient, and we can get there from here.
Maybe we'll keep you around long enough to bring these county islands into the cities.
Hmm. Does it come with hazard pay?
About another decade. All right. Do we need a motion to adjourn, or do we just adjourn here?
I'll make that motion.
I mean, whatever I say, Kenneth, you're going to.
I think a unanimous will do just fine, right?
All right.
It doesn't have to be.
All in favor of adjourning?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Thank you. Gary. We want to see you in person next time.
I will be there.
All right. Thank you.
Oh, God.